Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from God who creates, redeems, and sustains us, and who persistently invites us all to the feast. Amen. I don't know about you, but I find today's parable a little disturbing, particularly due to all the violence it portrays. Granted, it was written at a time following the destruction of the temple, Roman occupation, and strife between what people believed. Pastor David Lowes thinks that this parable originally helped a marginalized community, stressed by their relationships with their former kinsmen, not simply assert their superiority over their Jewish cousins, but also distinguish themselves from these same cousins to the Romans, who have so recently destroyed the temple. The reading is scarily familiar as we find ourselves in the midst of a lengthy viral pandemic, and there's dealing with racial issues, unemployment, the economy, natural disasters, as well as an election that is just around the corner during a time when our country is so extremely polarized. There seems to be no middle ground or room for real conversation, for good listening, and actual connection or relationship. And the pandemic has caused further isolation and disconnection for many, not to mention the horrible numbers of loved ones lost. There seems little hope for a return to some sense of normalcy with less chaos, less conflict, less isolation, and more civility and connection. In a webinar I attended this year, a hospital chaplain defined connection as opening the space. It's the process of showing people that you love them by being willing to get to know them and by allowing them to get to know you. This is what we do our best to practice as chaplains in the hospital, and particularly as we meet with patients and or their families as part of the palliative care team. And I know I've shared some of this with others about my work and you. It involves being present in the moment, leaving behind hidden agendas, and attending to what is important to the patient as well as their loved ones. We listen for their specific stories and let that guide the conversation, a difficult one at best, when we get to the medical issues and what they might really want for their care. The listening has become extra difficult in this time. So much of the conversations that we have to be done by phone. We can't see people's faces, their facial expressions, nor can we see body language. And often it's behind masks. But the connection is so important. And it starts with their stories, whatever they're willing to share. Through Pacific Health Ministry, we chaplains were invited to attend a Zoom presentation by Pono Shim, who spoke to us about the Aloha response. He introduced us to Hawaii's treasured kupuna, now deceased, Aunty Pilahi Paki, who wrote extensively about the meaning of aloha and wrote the Aloha Spirit Law, which I'm sure many of you know, have read, heard, and you live it or it lives you. She believed, and I quote her, that in the 21st century, the world will turn to Hawaii as they search for world peace, because Hawaii has the key, and that key is aloha. Initially, Pono shared a video of Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer, who demonstrated joining up with the horse as opposed to breaking in the horse. Pono said of the aloha response that it has to do with connection versus correction. I resonated with this, particularly on the home front, as I relate to my siblings. We all struggle with varying degrees of insecurity, worried about missing the mark as we grew up with what seemed like high and sometimes perfectionist expectations. I hope to be more attentive to what and how I say things, certain things, to my brother, my dear brother David, who often hears me as our mother speaking to him in a voice of correction. He allowed me to say this, so I did get his permission. What I would much rather do is connect with him rather than correct him or have him hear correction. And how much more difficult it is to practice in one's own immediate family. But I am grateful to have a new way of looking at all connections and relationships that allow me to intentionally focus on connecting or joining up versus correcting, breaking in, or one-upping anyone. After the initial presentation, Pono invited us to spend 5 weeks, each week with a different Hawaiian word representing one of the letters in the word aloha, and reflecting or processing those words as well as practices, because that's what they are practices, and they all work in concert with one another. But relate to them and reflect on them as they relate to our personal and professional lives. We were asked not to talk about them and or our reflections until the end of the duration of those 5 weeks when we gathered for a debriefing. He offered guiding questions each week. I'm only going to share two words, ones that really resonated with me. And again, they'll be familiar to most of you, especially those of you immersed in Hawaiian culture and with deep Hawaiian roots. So please forgive me if I misrepresent anything or misspeak. The first word, the word we began with, is actually associated with the last A in aloha. It is ahunui, meaning patience, to be expressed with perseverance. Pono Shim described ahunui as a practice of being alert and waiting. Waiting for the right moment. I could easily relate to this, especially thinking about the waiting and ready-making that is part of Advent. When we prepare and wait with anticipation to celebrate yet again God coming to be with us in the person of Jesus. It is my favorite season, and it's not far off. The other word that struck me is ha'a ha'a, meaning humility, to be expressed with modesty. Pono writes, it's to go empty or be empty, and the practice is listening. We were encouraged to listen to the words spoken, to observe where the words were coming from, to listen for what is causing those words, and from that cause, what the intention is behind them. What is not being said or spoken? It's a deep listening that is being practiced, that hears what is behind or below the words. The God I know and understand is one who persists in reaching out to all people, offering connection, inviting all to the feast, and clothing us in the garment of salvation through the waters of holy baptism. This God who reaches out to us with love, mercy, and grace calls us to connect not only with one another already at the table, but to connect with those who are not yet at the table, and extend God's invitation to them as well. The God I understand is mostly patient, though Moses in today's reading encountered a rather impatient and angry God, not surprisingly, but a God who actually listened and heard him, who heeded the reminder of promises made. This God hears our words, spoken and unspoken. This God knows all that is on our hearts and listens ever so deeply. This God relents and is merciful. God, over time, has certainly been persevering, always wanting to stay connected with us. And this God keeps calling us back when we stray. This God continues to invite all people, both good and bad, broken and in need of healing, to the feast. And this God is always ready to clothe the guests in Christ's righteousness. So I found myself wanting the king to relate more directly with all the various groups of people in the parable and make real connections with them, exploring the situation with more care. I didn't like the violence. But maybe it's just as Pastor David Lowe suggests, that Matthew's understanding of the God we know in Jesus is limited. That is not to say that our own understanding or vision of God's grace isn't limited. God's mercy and grace is offered to all. Jesus comes to you and for you. Jesus comes for me, as well as those we all might think unacceptable. We are both saint and sinner, beloved nevertheless, pure gift. God invites us to worship as well as to the feast or foretaste of the feast to come. We used to look forward to Holy Communion every Sunday. We only just had our first virtual communion service on the last Sunday of September. We look forward to it again on Reformation Sunday, not too many weeks away. And our presence is desired. Are you going to show up? What difference does it make in your life? How will you connect with others, hear their story, and extend God's invitation to them too? Technology has afforded us new ways of connecting with others, for which I am grateful, albeit often frustrated. But how can we use this technology to extend God's invitation ever farther? Every human encounter provides a moment of opportunity, be it in person or virtually. Let us be guided by Paul's words and think on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, and whatever is commendable, as we connect with others in new ways and invite them to the feast too. Amen. Let us join together and sing the hymn of the day, ELW 719.